Now tonight we begin a series on forgotten heroes of the Bible. And I'm quite sure that as we look into some of these lives, some of you would have read concerning them, but not all of you. I venture to say that many of the young people would scarcely have heard or studied or read about the life of Abigail. We had a very wonderful time before Christopher was born. We sat around the table one afternoon after lunch, and we were going over all these names. Names that we might call whatever the child might be. And I remember humorously going through some of the names that I found in Nehemiah. And there was Zatu, and Zakei, and Benayu, and Bediah, and Azzagd, and Azgad, and Adiakim, and Adin, and Atar. Well, you know, those names used to be somewhat humorous in times past. But when I go to Chicago or some parts of the States where they have a large black population, I'm beginning to hear some of these names again. And I wonder that anyone could be that terrible parents to give names to their kids that way. They pay the price later on, I am sure. But in the days of yesteryears, the names given meant something. And tonight we look at the first of these forgotten heroes. I suppose I call her heroine, and that is Abigail. How many of you have read her life before? I am very much astonished. Abigail. So again, we trust that there will be something new for you tonight as we look at this very unique woman in the Old Testament. There's something unique about a good woman. I might get in trouble right at this point. Why is it that you always find good women marrying bad men? It's an interesting thing. Here was a brilliant woman, intelligent. Here was a beautiful woman. And yet she got hooked up with this man. Which gives rise to the saying, "Love is blind." Every time I shave, as I think of my wife, I say, "Yes, love is blind." What did she see in me to want me? What did she see in me to call me to her side? Yet God can work and bring two people together, and so work that they really become one in the Spirit and in the Lord. So I ask you this evening to turn to the 25th chapter of the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, chapter 25. As you are looking for the passage, let me just give you a little background. It is a story of Abigail, of Naboth, and of David. But the central figure, even though I am singling out Abigail as the one whose life we will study, the central figure is David. Because if I asked the question before, why do good women marry bad men? I ask the equal question, the question of equal value, may I say, why do good men lose out at some point in their lives? Do you remember Moses? A man who fell on his face before God again and again whenever things went wrong in his life. And the time he should have done it, he didn't do it. And God called him home. David is known as a man of godliness, of righteousness, a man of patience, a man who stood over Saul, a man who could have taken Saul's life and did with it what he wanted to, but realizing that God had set his hand upon Saul, David decided not to touch the Lord's anointed. And yet when we come to 1 Samuel chapter 25, David loses his temper. He's on the verge of making a tragic mistake. And Abigail intercepted David and saved him from future tragedy. David had cared for Naboth's men. He had surrounded them with his own life. He protected them under the night skies. He made sure that they were provided for. And so the time came when David needed Naboth's help. And instead of giving him help, he insulted his men, and his men went back to David and told David what this man, this, I don't know if I should call him a man, for he failed to show himself a man, Nabal, insulted the men, sent them away, and they went back to David, told David, and David's anger rose. We won't go into the story there. We want to take up the story of verse 14 of chapter 25 as we look at what I call this tremendous virtue that we all need, the approachableness of Abigail. The approachableness of Abigail. Someone might have all the tools. Someone might have all the knowledge. Someone might have everything that others might need, but if that person is not approachable, no one will go to that person for help. I shall never forget the time I sat in my office out in Alberta, and a young student, well, he was not a young student, I think he was my age, so he's my age now, if he wasn't a little bit older than I am. But he came to my office and he sat with his eyes just halfway opened. And he looked around and his eyes paraded my wall and then the next wall and then the next wall. And then he got up and he walked out. And then he came back again about a week or two after. And he did the same thing. And then the third time I think he came back, I said, "Now you would like to share something with me, don't you?" And he said, "Yes. I was waiting to see how you would deal with my coming and my going before I shared with you what was on my heart." He was a young man, deeply distressed by a tendency to homosexuality. Deeply distressed. And as he opened up to me, I asked him, "Why didn't you go to the head of the institution? Why did you come to me?" And he said to me, I'll never forget his words, "I don't think that I can ever approach him. I don't think I can ever approach him." Rightly or wrongly, whenever that young man got in the presence of this man, he felt intimidated. But when we look at Abigail, a woman who was in the lap of luxury, a woman who had position, a woman who had what it takes to get ahead in life, we found, my friends, as we searched the text, that this woman was approachable. She was approachable with two important ingredients in life. And the first of these is seen in verses 14 to 16. Abigail was so approachable that she was trusted with her impartiality. Or for her impartiality. After the servants of David went back to him, we look in verse 14, one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, "Behold, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, and he scorned them. Yet the men were very good to us, and we were not insulted, nor did we miss anything as long as we went about with them. We were in the fields. They were a wall to us both by night and by day, all the time we were with them tending the sheep." Here, my friends, is a woman who was impartial. Because one of the servants of Nabal came to Abigail to disclose to Abigail the behavior of her husband. Now, which of us like to receive news when one of our children or someone we're related to misbehaves or whatever the case might be, and someone has to come to us to share with us the failure of someone who is close to us? Abigail was so approachable. She was so impartial with the truth, impartial to righteousness, impartial, my friends, to a balanced life, because of her balanced life, that she was trusted because of her impartiality. Whoever this servant was knew that when she spoke to Abigail, Abigail would not behave like a foolish woman or a foolish man defending iniquity, even though she knew that it was the case. Turn, if you please, to Proverbs 18 and see this principle in this woman's life. Proverbs 18 and 5. To show partiality to the wicked is not good, nor to thrust aside the righteous in judgment. To show partiality to the wicked is not good. She knew what kind of a man Nabal was. She had lived with a man. She didn't know what had happened out there in the field. But when her servant saw it, he knew that he could go to Abigail, for Abigail was an impartial person. Now, friends, let me tell you, that's a quality that's not easy to develop. I mean, can you imagine someone coming to me and saying, I want to tell you what your daughter did. Later on, what your son did. Think of the defensive spirit that comes immediately. Think of how we want to protect those we love, those who are close to us. Especially a wife to a husband to a wife. Where does one learn to be impartial in judgment? We'll see it later on, my friends. I will suggest to you that Abigail learned that in her devotional life. In her devotional life. Isaiah chapter 50 says, the Lord awakens me, speaking in messianic terms, but related to his people. The Lord awakens me morning by morning. He has given me the tongue of a disciple that I might know how to speak a word in its right time. She learned it in her devotional life. This is why she's such a unique woman. So she was trusted for her impartiality. But Abigail, my friends, was also trusted for her insight. Look at verse 17. Now, therefore, know and consider what you should do. Somehow this servant had dealt with this woman before. He knew what kind of a lady, what kind of a woman, what kind of an insight she had. And she placed the entire future of Nabal's life, the entire future of the business, into her hands, into her judgment. Now consider what you will do. Think it through. I love this because, you see, Abigail, my friends, was an intelligent woman. She was pragmatic. She didn't respond with her emotions. She didn't burst out in tears because of the failure of her husband. Abigail was able to understand some of the deep teachings of God's Spirit and God's Word, whatever amount of the Word she had at the time. However God communicated with them, this woman was able to understand something of the insights into the behavioral pattern and behavior of people. So what did she do? She had good understanding. She was intelligent. Look, if you please, at some text that I have just jotted down here for your sakes. Proverbs 13 and 15. Proverbs 13, 15. Listen to what Abigail was like. Good understanding produces favor. Good understanding will produce favor. Down the line, as she was preparing herself in her devotional life, God was going to use what she was learning here to put her in good standing out there. Verse 16. Every prudent man acts with knowledge. Every prudent man acts with knowledge. Not simply with emotions, but with knowledge. I could say so much about that. 31:26 of Proverbs. 31:26. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. This was Abigail. She opened her mouth with wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to handle knowledge. Knowing what to do with what I know. How to use what I know. How to be submitted to what I know. That's what wisdom is. Wisdom is not how much I know. Wisdom is who I know. God produces in my life insight. He gives wisdom that I might know how to handle the things that I have learned. The approachableness of Abigail. Let me ask you, deacons. Let me ask you, pastors. Let me ask you, Sunday school teachers. Are you approachable? Do people find it easy to come to you with their distress? If someone sees your child or your children or your husband or your wife acting out of line, are they able to come to you because they know you are impartial toward righteousness? You do not defend
the wicked,
whether it's found in someone else's children, in someone else's husband, or your own, or my own, the approachableness of Abigail. There is something unique I find about our Lord. Our Lord Jesus was approachable. Approachable. And I tell you, friends, this is one of the qualities that we must learn. One of the qualities. I was in Kitchener for the last 2 days of the past week at meetings Thursday and Friday. So I wasn't here. And I hadn't seen John until this morning. And he said to me as he was in his office on Friday, I think, one of the ladies from the nursery school came over and said, "Can I talk with you? I think I must begin to attend church." Isn't that wonderful? That a man sat in the office, approachable, approachable. That a stranger can come and say, "I want to talk with you about coming to church again." We must be approachable. Abigail was, and you'll see how it set her in good stead. Secondly, the appeal of Abigail. The appeal of Abigail. Now, we must understand what was happening to Abigail. In verse 17, the servant said, "Now consider how you will handle this matter." And in 18 and 19, she handles the matter. She hurried and took 200 loaves of bread and took jugs of wine and 5 sheep already prepared, 5 measures of roasted grain and 100 clusters of raisin, 200 cakes of figs, and loaded them on a donkey. What a woman. I mean, she was some woman. She knew what to do. She considered the thing and then she prepared it. Now she's going to meet David. And as she meets David, here is the attitude, the spirit of David at the time. And it came about as she was riding her donkey and coming down the hidden part of the mountain, that behold, David and his men were coming down toward her, so she met them. Now, the Holy Spirit gives us insight into the anger of David. The anger of David. David said, "Surely in vain I have guarded all this man's has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed. I was true to him. I was faithful to him. And he has returned me evil for good. May God do so to the enemies of David, and more so if by morning I leave as much as one male of any who belongs to him." The man was angry. Oh, by the way, Christians get this way sometimes. Christians get angry. Sometimes they lose their temper. They lose their cool. They behave as though they belong to the devil's crowd. When I was a student, I'll never forget, doing summer work, we were planting trees out in the prairies. And I don't know what happened between two students, and all of a sudden, one student belted the other student. I mean, he belted him. And I don't know if I should give you his excuse. He said he was a Calvinist and he couldn't help himself. You know what I told him? Claim it and do the same thing. Claim Calvinism and do the same thing. Yes, friends. You know, when I was a student, we had a student at school who used to steal Bibles. I mean, he was a kleptomaniac. People were missing their Bibles all over the place, couldn't find them. And I regret to tell you, one day we set a trap. And we found all the Bibles, stacks of Bibles. He was hiding them. Yes, Christians do that. I heard of a man, a minister, who told someone when he makes an appointment, he wants it kept because he cannot be responsible for what he does after that. That's a minister. Yes, David was angry. David was personally hurt. And my friends, when we approach people from the standpoint of our hurt, listen, we end up hurting ourselves unless God intervenes. This is where Abigail shows her stuff. This is where she shows her spiritual strength, her spiritual insight, spiritual capacity. Consider with me, first of all, the way she appealed to David. First of all, she appealed, my friends, with a servant spirit. With a servant spirit. I tell you, nothing will diffuse anger like someone who has a servant spirit. Look, if you please. She fell off her, I was going to say out of her Cadillac, but she fell off her donkey. And she fell before David. Whether David knew who he was at the time, who she was at the time, I don't know. But she fell before David, and immediately she fell before David, something happened to David. As she fell before David, my friends, she said to David, please do not let my Lord pay attention to this worthless man, Nabal. His name means fool, and he behaves that way. Here is this woman taking on all the foolishness of her husband. She's bearing the load of all his insults to David. She stands between an angry man and a foolish man, and she stands as the only one who had the capacity to deal with both. A servant spirit. She went to David and she said to David, I want you to listen to me, please. She didn't demand anything from David. She didn't even try to bargain with David. She won David. She won him. What is a servant spirit? In 1 Peter 3, 3 and 4, again, Peter is a husband, so he knows what it is all about. In 1 Peter 3, 3 and 4, Peter is talking to wives, and he gives them a very important insight into life. Peter said, let not your adornment be merely external, the braiding of the hair. Now, Peter is not saying that it's wrong to take care of your hair, to get a perm. He's not saying that. But he's saying, don't depend upon that for what you really are. The braiding of the hair, the wearing of gold jewelry, it is not wrong. Or putting on dresses. But let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and a quiet spirit, which is precious or priceless in the sight of God. Abigail, my friends, prepared her spirit to go to David. And because she prepared her spirit to go to David, David had to listen to her. Why? Because a quiet spirit turns anger away. Proverbs 15 and 1. A quiet spirit, not someone who is just dumb, but someone who is resting in the Lord. Someone who has actually charted her way through and know how she will behave. I will behave myself this way before God. What she wanted was for God to use her life before David, and so she prepared herself for this. She prepared herself for it. A servant spirit. That was the ground. None of us, my friends, will be able to approach things unless we have that kind of a spirit. God can never bless an arrogant spirit. In fact, the scripture says he turns away from it. Secondly, she approached David with a sensitive spirit. A sensitive spirit. 26 to 29 of our text. 26 to 29. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, since the Lord has restrained you from shedding blood. You see how sensitive she is? The Lord has restrained you. She's taking no credit for what has happened to David. She sees that it is God who is at work in that life. She believes in the providence of God. She believes in the sovereignty of God. God has restrained you, David, in all your anger. God has restrained you from shedding blood and from avenging yourself by your own hands. This woman has insight for the person who avenged anyone by his or her own hands. Will that person himself or herself be avenged by God? Early in my Christian life, I learned Romans 12 and 19. Beloved, avenge not yourself. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Oh, my friends, let me tell you, if there's one thing people can't stand is a man or a woman who is submitted to God. Because that person does not fight for his or her rights. He lets God, she lets God bring it to the fore. This is what Abigail did. Sensitive to David's feeling. You were hurt by my husband. You were insulted by my husband. Sensitive. She knew that Nabal was wrong. But she also knows that David is wrong for the thing he's about to do. And she will not let either get away with it. She was sensitive to David's calling, as you will see in a minute. And so with a servant spirit, with a sensitive spirit, and I love this, in verses 30 and 31, with a shielding spirit. A shielding spirit. And it shall come about when the Lord shall do for my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you, and shall appoint you ruler over Israel. This will not cause grief or trouble heart to my Lord, both by having shed blood without cause and by my Lord having avenged himself. Here is Abigail saying to David, David, if you pursue the end you're going to, later on you will pay for it. And I want to shield you from doing it. When you get upon the throne and you've got to remember your past, you will remember how you took things into your own hands. And one of the signs of a submissive person is that he never takes things into his own hands. Never. What a shielding spirit. You see, my friends, love covers a multitude of sins. Sometimes I see things and people wonder, why don't you do something about it? Because it is not God's time. It is possible, my friends, to do the right thing at the wrong time. God said to David, you desired in your heart to build me a house. A house where you could come and worship me. I will not permit you to do it, David, because your hands are full of blood. So David was denied the privilege of building the house. Abigail says, I want you to have the fullness of joy when you become king by not doing what you're about to do. She shielded him from taking things into his own hands to protect his future. Oh, what a woman Abigail is. I wonder, friends, if we have that kind of a spirit with one another. That we would prefer to shield someone from doing something so that that person might get the very best that God has for him or her. Think of it. Think of the relationships that we have. More can be said, but my time is gone. I'll go to my last point. The appreciation of Abigail. The appreciation of Abigail. And it is verses 32 to 35. First of all, David said to Abigail, Abigail, I appreciate you for your spiritual intervention. Then David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. Oh, dear friends, this is a tremendous verse. Let me tell you what it is saying. That as you prepare yourself, my friends, in your spiritual development, God might lead you to intercept someone who is on the way to self-destruction. Someone might have every right to lash out. Someone might have every right to be angry. Someone might have every right to take things into their own hands if they were just normal people. But they're not normal. They're abnormal, if you please, or supernormal. God sent you. God was able to speak to you. God was able to use you to stop me from doing what I was going to do. Spiritual intervention. Spiritual intervention. I love T.S. Rendell. He is a man that I will love until the day I die. One of the best teachers I've had in any of the schools I've attended. And T.S. Rendell was denied a position after serving in a subordinate position for almost from 1953 to the 1980s, in a subordinate position. And the time came when he was to be exalted to the top, and instead of that position given to him, something else was done. Someone else got the position who did not deserve it. And people came to Dr. Rendell and said, Dr. Rendell, it isn't right that you should again be bypassed for this position. From 1953 to the present, you have been faithful. For over 30 years, you have been faithful. And if you allow us to, we will go to bat for you. We will take this thing to the very top. You don't have to do anything. And you know what he said? The fruit of righteousness is sown by those who make peace. I will not allow myself, even though I might have a right, to deny the work of God in my life. My friends, you know what intercepted him? The scriptures. About a month later, Winnipeg Bible College called and said, "We would like to confer on you a doctor's degree." From the time he was denied the position, the one who was supposed to get it was ill until the time he gave it up, and T.S. Rendell got the position. Not by manipulation, not by conniving, not by underhanded work, but he sowed righteousness by making peace. Blessed be God who has sent you to intercept me. Oh, dear friends, let us listen to those who come to us even when we have righteous anger. David had every right, but God had something else for David. She was appreciated for her spiritual intervention. That takes something for a man to say to a woman, doesn't it? You were right and I was wrong. When was the last time you heard that, wives? I mean, I'm speaking to myself as well as a husband. You were right. You were right. You were right. Or in the congregation. When we have differences and God works everything out, are we willing to go to the other person and say, "You were right. I thank God that he used you to intercept me." Secondly, she was appreciated for her spiritual insight. Verse 33, her spiritual insight. Look at how David responded. And blessed be your discernment, and blessed be you who have kept me this day from bloodshed and from avenging myself by my own hands, by your insight. Listen to what David is saying. You came and you spoke to me. You showed me things I didn't think about, because rage doesn't think. Rage just simply act. Anger doesn't think, it just simply act. David said, "You intercepted, I listened to you." And then lastly, for her spiritual influence, verses 34 and 35. "Nevertheless, as the Lord God of Israel lives, who has restrained me from harming you, unless you had come quickly to meet me, surely there would not have been left to Nabal until the morning light as much as one male." So David received from her hand what she had brought, and he said to her, "Go to your house in peace. See, I have listened to you and granted your requests." She influenced David. My friends, many, many times in the Bible we read about the people whom God used to write. But as you read their lives, you soon understand that there were others that God used to bring them where they got. We love to talk of David, don't we? We love to study the Psalms, don't we? But do you know, my friends, that if Abigail did not intercept David, we would have nothing by David like we have today. For God would probably have called David home, just as he called Moses when Moses failed that one time. Abigail, a woman of insight. May I say this to you, ladies? May God increase your tribe as you follow in the footsteps of Abigail, a woman of insight. Lord, speak to me that I may speak in living echoes of thy tone. As thou hast sought, so let me seek thy erring children, lost and lone.